United States women's national team roster is out as Vlatko Andonovski has made his choices for the Tokyo Olympics. We have Lisa Roman, Sandra Herrera, and Laurie Lindsay to discuss the lineup, the roster, who's going to Japan, and so much more. Qué Golazo begins right now.
Welcome into Qué Golazo. It's Wednesday morning. I'm Lisa Roman. I'm the producer for Qué Golazo, stepping in today for Luis to talk some United States women's national team. I'm so happy to welcome my good friends and soccer analysts, Sandra Herrera and Laurie Lindsay. Sandra, welcome.
Lisa, missed you. Can't wait to chat about all things U.S. women's national team Olympic roster. Let's do this.
Laurie, it's so great to have you on. How are you?
Listen, I wouldn't want to spend my morning with anybody else except for you two. So thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a good time. It's a good time. After international friendlies, training camps, the summer series, Vlatko Andonovski has spoken. He's whittled his 25-woman roster down to those 18 ahead of the Olympics in Tokyo, plus his four alternates. But initial reactions, Laurie, when you saw the announcement, you saw the 18, what was your gut reaction to those names?
Well, for me, sitting on the sidelines, it's awesome. And like, it's a roster that I had picked. I'm not patting myself on the back, but it's 100% exactly who I thought, just given what I know about coaches and what they're thinking going into these world, whether it's a World Cup or Olympics. And also just a huge congratulations to the players. I mean, the length and like the emotion that goes into it. But yeah, excited and ready for the Olympics next month.
Sandra, the 18 names, were you happy with it? Was it your picks?
Yeah, I mean, my initial reaction to that roster was just this is a solid United States women's national team pick. Tough job. I really feel for Vlatko after, you know, sitting in on some of those media availabilities with some of these international windows with him and the team as the Olympics got closer and closer and closer and different players were coming in and out of these camps. You just know how difficult that is to whittle down a roster when you have so much talent on the team, and then to do it in an Olympic year where you know you only have 18 slots is a rough and tough job. But looking just sort of at first glance and some of those names, yeah, I'm with Lindsay. I mean, these names stick out and you're just like, yes, this makes sense. These are the players that should go. It's a lot of returning players from even that 2016 Rio Olympic roster, you know, obviously a good chunk and core of that 2019 World Cup winning roster. And sprinkled in with a couple new faces, but more than capable faces. So they're a team that's going to be ready to compete for sure.
We're talking about the names. We're talking about the players. And it was a tough year for Vlatko to really whittle this down and find those top 18 players with so much talent. Let's get to them. I'll read off the roster for you guys. Goalkeepers, Alyssa Nair, AD Franch. Defense, Abby Dahlkemper, Becky Sauerbrunn, Crystal Dunn, Kelly O'Hara, Tierna Davidson, and Emily Sonnet. Midfield, Rose Lavelle, Lindsay Horan, Julie Ertz, Sam Mewis, and Christy Mewis. Forward position, those strikers, Kristen Press, Alex Morgan, Carly Lloyd, Megan Rapinoe, and Tobin Heath. The alternatives that will be traveling to Tokyo, Jane Campbell, goalkeeper, Lynn Williams, forward, Katerina Macario, midfielder, and Casey Kruger, defense. So taking a look at those names, biggest surprises for you, Sandra, who on that list really stands out the most?
Biggest surprises. Oh boy. I mean, I think we have to zone in on those alternates. You know, I think a player like Lynn Williams, someone who we saw, you know, really just sort of be in high favor with head coach Vlatko Andonovski really early on with his start as head coach with this team, getting called back into national team camps more regularly, and then getting more regular starts under his belt as well, you know, on that top line, and just sort of seeing what she does on and off the ball, her movement out on the wing, and her ability to sort of just go 1v1 with and against defenders, you know, really brings something special. And we sort of saw what it was like to have a player like Lynn Williams really integrate within a system, you know, for a head coach. And you started to see what a player like her could bring. And then just sort of as things kind of trickled out, competition breeds competition, and it just is a very, very, very good thing. And when you're looking at that core of forwards, it's a veteran core of forwards. I mean, you don't see a lot of, you know, younger forwards on that list. So we're seeing players with a lot of tournament experience, whether it's in World Cup or Olympics, you know, somebody like a Tobin Heath, somebody like Carly Lloyd. I think they're leading the way now. I think this is going to be their fourth appearance, you know, in Olympic Games. So that's huge, you know. So seeing somebody like Lynn Williams still be able to travel with this team and be able to, you know, go abroad and have this kind of general Olympic experience with the team, I think is going to be important for the future. Because again, when we're looking at that veteran core players, I mean, Lindsay can probably contest to this as well. You know, the lifespan of a pro athlete has an expiration date, and it's, you know, when they decide that is. And so eventually looking on to the next cycle, you're going to have somebody like with Lynn Williams with this type of experience under her belt. And it could be something where Vlatko Andonovski is thinking in that sort of lens and thinking in that scope. So surprised to not see her crack that full 18. But not surprised to see her going in some capacity.
Lori, jumping off of that, Sandra talked so much about experience and how much that plays into these final decisions and actually going to the Olympics, because it's the travel, it's the relocation, it's the scope of the game and the pressure that it comes with. How much does experience outweigh potential in a decision like this?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know if experience outweighs potential necessarily, but I think when you're looking between the World Cup and the Olympics, that's the toughest thing. In the World Cup, going with 23 players on the roster, you can take and you expect to take some younger players to get them experience, even if they don't see time on the field at all, just the understanding of the tournament. You just don't have that luxury with an 18-player roster going to the Olympics, and with how it works with only 2 days between games, it's really less about sometimes actual performance on the field and more about rest and recovery. And that's why, as Sandra alluded to as well, is like the experience is key. And to your previous question about some surprises, I think, you know, for a lot of people, it probably would be Tobin Heath, not in terms of what she can do on the field, but hasn't played since January due to injury, making her way back. Now, everything that's coming out of the camp is that she is, you know, on 100% track to be at her top performance come July. However, I think, you know, it is still shocking, but that's when you go on previous, what players have done previously, right? And that maybe answers your question about potential then. I was bummed not to see Lynn Williams as well, especially early on. And that's a whole nother discussion that you can get into of like, what does this team look like if this was actually 2020? Because I think that'd be very different with an Alex Morgan who just, would she be able to make it back after pregnancy? Lynn Williams was lights out and in top favor, I think probably first on the team sheet when it came to strikers, especially during Olympic qualifying. Anyway, all of that to be said, huge congrats to Casey Krueger to continue to plug away and have fun playing and just keep performing, right? And then gets the call, because I actually was going off of the roster that he had in the last in the summer series. So I had Alana Cook.
I think most people were.
Yeah.
I think everyone was, Lori. Yeah. I mean, how could you not? Casey didn't get called into camps. I mean, we talked a little bit about it before we recorded, but the She Believes Cup, but a huge congrats to Casey for getting this call up and going to the big stage.
Yeah. And the last thing I'll say about that too is that when we don't, so I had actually Alana Cook plugged in because when you look at this 18-player roster, I think having those four alternates, that's where you take some of your youth to get them experience. Because typically you're like, I don't know. There's not a huge likelihood. And I've been an alternate at the Olympics to get on the field. However, I think this is the first time ever that there is a higher percentage given COVID restrictions, everything that's going to take place while you're there and, you know, in an experienced group, but also somewhat of a veteran group, especially in that front line. So, I mean, these alternates need to be ready and they will be, because I think this is the highest percentage we've ever seen for an alternate to maybe step in and have to play a role.
Oh, definitely. Anything can happen. And the four alternates will travel to Tokyo and they could be slotted into that roster position at any second. Sandra, Casey Krueger, who we talked briefly about there with Lori a little bit, but why her? Flacco hasn't seen her. She wasn't in the summer series. What about her stands out in maybe the NWSL that she's playing in for Chicago, and why is she chosen for this alternate spot?
Yeah, I think if you're taking a defender in that alternate spot, you're going to want somebody who can slot across that back line. And Casey Krueger is a player that has shown, primarily through her club play, really, that she's capable of slotting in at either center back or at either, you know, the left or right flank at the outside back position. You know, she is a player that, you know, has not, she's also not had the experience of participating in a global tournament, whether it's a World Cup or an Olympics. But she has extensive experience, you know, within national team camps. She has gotten tons of call-ins with the senior national team training camps, you know, dating back to time, you know, with Jill Ellis. And then we all remember when that World Cup roster got announced, that was sort of the biggest surprise then for that 2019 roster, that she was left off, you know, in place of other defenders heading off to France. So that was pretty significant. And I think that kind of maybe lingers a little bit, you know, if you're a player like Casey Short. We saw what she put, the year that she put together during that 2019 World Cup, arguably the best defender of the year, lost out on voting. But you have somebody like a Becky Sauerbrunn, the national team captain, end up winning that award, and then immediately recognizing, you know, that a player like Casey Krueger had put together a very epic year that she did during 2019. And then you have 2020, which was just a short window of games for club, for all players, but then sort of doing enough to kind of get back into favor with the national team. And a player, like a head coach like Vlatko Andonovski, who has so much experience within NWSL himself with his coaching background, he's someone who has always valued and rated NWSL club play, because he knows what players bring in and out during domestic club play. So sort of having that, her having that experience with national team camps already, I think kind of comes into play. Lori touched on this, talking about, you know, experience versus potential. And I think a player like Casey Krueger really has both. And if you're only able to take four alternates at four specific positions, you're going to want a little bit of versatility, a little bit of experience. And I think somebody like Krueger is bringing that to the defensive position, maybe over somebody like a Midge Purse.
Jumping off that, Sandra, you mentioned Midge Purse. If you take a look at the defenders that Vlatko Andonovski has chosen for this, are there any snubs, anything that you're surprised at? I know we just talked on Krueger a little bit and what she's doing, but in that back line, having versatility, having the freedom to move players from the central back position to the outside back position, and even potentially slot them into the midfield if something were to happen there, how much versatility does the defenders that he's chosen to take bring to this team? Either of you. I mean, I'm just curious. I want to hear this, Lori. Like, how much does this provide for the team overall?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think there's not too many surprises, just given the tendencies we've seen from Blacko. I mean, good shout from Sandra about Casey Krueger, because I agree with all of that in terms of just staying ready and valuing what players do in the NWSL. I think we saw Emily Sonnet slide across that back line as well. So her and Casey, I think, will be the ones that have the more versatility, with Tierna Davidson being like kind of that really true center back. If they do decide to rest like a Becky Sauerbrunn in that second game, just the almost what we saw in the summer series, right? Mimicking what they'll do come the Olympics next month. However, you know, in some cases, when you think about snubs too, Midge Purse would be one of the big ones, I think, that everyone would highlight in terms of surprising that she's not either an alternate or even on the 18. And I wonder, and I don't know this for sure, but I also wonder a little bit if, you know, the versatility almost hurt Midge in the decision-making, because we've seen her with Gotham FC play a ton up top, right? But I think where you would see her most in this U.S. Women's National Team is in that right back position, where, yes, we've seen her with Gotham, but not a ton. And there just hasn't been enough time overall. Because you could compare that with like a Crystal Dunn, who plays in multiple different positions and is the world's best player at whatever position she's playing. However, with Midge, it just hasn't been enough time at either of those places with the women's national team. And so I wonder if that essentially end up being more hurtful than helpful in the end, because as Sandra said, Casey can come in as an alternate and slot right into that right back position, even left back position. And if needed to be called upon, could play in a three back or could play centrally if needed, if really push come to shove as well. So a lot of options there. So yeah, I wouldn't say necessarily snubs, but again, tough decision from Blacko and something that I wouldn't want to be having to make.
Yeah, me either. One of the toughest decisions. There's so much riding on this and missing out on 2020 and experience and everything that goes through that. Traditionally, Blacko has played a 4-3-3 formation, which lends to a really holding mid six position. We know that Julie Ertz has been injured. So taking a look at the midfielders that he has chosen in Chrissy Mewis, Sam Mewis, Lindsay Horan, Rose Lavelle, and Julie Ertz. Sandra, how do you see those numbers shaking out in the midfield and in the formation and essentially in the lineup?
Well, you know, I think the midfield is going to have a lot of responsibility during these Olympics, and we might see some of the most rotation happening, you know, within that midfield, depending on, you know, the health of certain players and where they're at. You know, Julie Ertz picking up that injury, you know, prior to this final roster being named, and sort of kind of having not so much of a question mark on the timeline, but I think really just a question mark about how iconic and how integral of a player she is at that position. And there were a lot of questions about, like, how is this team going to look? Or are they going to be able to cope without her, et cetera, et cetera? And it turns out they're probably going to be just fine. Even if they're going to lose somebody like her. It's sickening. It's maddening how talented this team is. And we got to see somebody like Lindsay Horan sort of slot in over the summer series and kind of put in work at that shift, you know, within that position. And, you know, the midfield looked pretty good, you know, in these trio of games that were really meant to sort of mimic Olympic play ahead of the Tokyo games. So it looks like they're going to be okay. But in terms of a timeline, everything that's been coming out of media availabilities, you know, with Blacko Adanovsky in terms of updates on somebody like Julie Ertz is that, again, similar to Tobin Heath, that the prospect is that come July, she's going to be good to go. Now, what that means in terms of percentage, you know, I think if you have, you know, a Julie Ertz who's even at 70%, you're taking her to the Olympics, like full stop, because somehow soccer math, a 70% Julie Ertz is going to give you 100% all the time, you know? So it's just one of those things, I think, where, again, where it comes down to where it's like, Julie Ertz has had enough experience in that position and has sort of made herself, you know, be this player who is irreplaceable on this team. And that includes even in a scenario like this, if she's only, you know, X percent ready to go, that she's still going to be going to the Olympics. So she's been shut down for club play, so she hasn't had any club play since that opening match with the Red Stars. But five midfielders, in the group stage is going to be games every couple of days. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if every single one of these midfielders gets some type of time. And it was really, really good to sort of see all the names across them, because it's such a strong midfield core, whether it's an Ertz or either of the Mewis, you know, sisters. Congrats to Chrissy Mewis for getting back into this mix. I mean, that's really the story that we should be talking about here. A player that was sort of absent, you know, from the national team for 6 years and is making her first major senior national team global competition, you know, at 30, you know, come after being away for so long from this team. And she's absolutely going to get time on the pitch in some capacity, I believe, during this Olympic run.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Yeah, so many congratulations are due across the board to so many of these players. You mentioned soccer math, Sandra. Yeah, Julie Ertz at 70%. She's going to give you 100%. Even if she only plays 60 minutes, it'll be 100% at 60 minutes. And her 70% play is better than most players' 100% play. So you're taking her no matter what. And for the Mewis sisters, both of them on the senior roster, going to a huge Olympics games is huge for them, huge for the soccer community and the soccer world. And I mean, sisters, like this takes sisters on the team, like your teammates are your sisters. This takes it to a whole new level. I love it. I love it. Soccer math, we're sticking with it. Age is but a number. We've learned that time and time again from this team. And taking a look at the forward line, I mean, was there ever a doubt that Carly Lloyd wasn't going to the Olympics, Lori?
No, that's what I said. Like I just laughed about the whole conversation of like whether or not she was going to make this roster or not. I'm like, no, the conversation is whether or not Carly Lloyd is going to start on this team and fight. Because and even Blacko, I was laughing. We had a before the Nigeria game that I was calling, we had a coaching call with him, and he was like, no, I think, you know, next thing I know is Carly's going to be turning on us as coaching staff because he likes the underdog mentality so much that she's like, I think that she wants me to tell her that she's not on the roster just so that she's even playing better. So no, I mean, credit to her. I mean, she continues. This is not a surprise being a teammate of hers in the past. I mean, this is where she thrives. This is what she wants. And she continues to show up. And honestly, when you look at it, and even Carly will say this, love or hate her style of play or what she brings. I don't know of a player that shows up so consistently in the biggest moments on the world stage as Carly does. And this isn't a knock. She could be terrible for the team for 89 minutes, but you know that one, you have to keep her on the field because that 1 minute she will score goals. Like
there's that soccer math again. Soccer math again.
I've never seen anything like it. And she continues to show up and do it. And honestly, she made that front line, in my opinion, so difficult for Blacko to that decision to make. And honestly, credit to Alex Morgan. I think she's playing some of the best soccer that we've seen really in a decade, almost since her baby horse days that we used to call her when she was first coming on the scene. I mean, she's scoring goals and I think she'll be the difference maker up top, really. Tobin Heath, I think, brings something different, and they know that in terms of her width play than a press or even a Megan Rapinoe. But goodness, I mean, when you think about the strike mentality of that front line, I mean, something that the U.S. has always hung its hat on, but I'm like, okay, here we come. So But
full force in the front line for sure. I mean, across the board on this team, like we've been saying, I sound like a broken record, but so much talent, so much depth. I'm going a little bit positionally here. Last one I want to hit on, the goalkeeper position. This is big. The continuity and the communication with your back line and how you flow with them is so big, especially at the Olympic level, going up against international competition. Alyssa Nair and AD French, to me, great options. I love that. It wasn't really surprising at all that they made this. But starting positions between those two, I think they each offer different things. Alyssa Nair has a lot of experience and a lot of experience with this back line for the United States women's national team. But AD French is showing a lot. She has a lot of potential and a lot of fight in her play and a lot of aggression towards the ball. So Sandra, when you look at these two goalkeepers, I don't think either of them are surprising that they made the roster, but for you, which one stands out more to probably slide into that starting goalkeeper position?
I mean, it's Alyssa Nair, hands down. I mean, she's been the number one starting goalkeeper for this team for some time. She was that starting goalkeeper heading into that 2019 World Cup. And as Vlatko Andonovski took the reins, continued to get those starting, positions for him over these last 20 plus games or so. So it's going to be Alyssa Nair. But I think between these two goalkeepers heading to the Olympics, they're absolutely the perfect, 1-2 punch combination at this position to be taking as the two main goalkeepers. And with Jane Campbell as an alternate, someone who has a lot of extensive experience over club play, doing a lot of great things for Houston Dash. And great to have her in the alternate position as part of that sort of goalkeeper trio heading to Tokyo. But Alyssa Nair has, at this point, frankly, more of the experience, within these type of big lights. There was a lot of adversity that she had to go through during that 2019 World Cup run. She had done a lot of work and put in a lot of time, and shifts at that starting position. And somehow, as they headed to that 2019 World Cup, she was still getting a lot of flack, quite frankly, whether it was from, fans, pundits, commentary or otherwise. And there was all these questions about how she could be under pressure. It's one of the loneliest positions to be in. The spotlight is always on you. Even if you are on a team like the United States women's national team, who can have a game where they could put up tons and tons of goals. When that moment comes, are you going to be ready? And she showed that during that World Cup run. She came up huge with that huge penalty save during their run into the final there. And I think that type of experience, that type of mentality, that type of tenacious mindset, the sort of calm that she brings on the ball for her back line is something that you're going to want to have in net. And having somebody like Adriana French, who's definitely very, she's a very vocal, her ability to organize a back line, sort of keep them on their toes, I think it's a great combination to be taking into the Olympics. And a player, I think, like French, again, this is an Olympics that we're probably going to see unlike any other Olympics. I think Lori hit it best at the top of this segment, where it's like the rotation, just all of the limitations that something like COVID-19 is placing on things. There's potential for all of these players to potentially get time on the pitch. And I wouldn't be surprised if somebody like Vlatko maybe wants to slot in Adriana French in one of these games. It's important to have your goalkeeper be consistent throughout this tournament, but we have no idea what's going to happen in these games. There's a lot of unpredictability. So I think if you're going to be taking these two goalkeepers to the Olympics, these are absolutely the two that you want to be taking.
Taking a look at the summer series that we saw, lots of rotation in the starting lineup from Vlatko Andonovski, and there's still the send-off series for the United States plays Mexico in the first week of July. But do you guys have roster lineups, do you think, for a 4-3-3 formation? Lori, do you have anyone that you're like, these are the 11 that'll get some starts?
I think it's the big question marks, I think, is what we see in the Nair and goal. I would go with Kelly O'Hara, Dahlkemper, Sauerbrunn, and Crystal across the back. Most likely at this point in time, without knowing the exact return date of a Julie Ertz or what her soccer percentages, which is like my new soccer math. It's like, oh my gosh, Sandra, I'm putting that from now on, which is fantastic. but I would say it's a combination of like a Horan, Rose, and Sam Mewis. Mm-hmm. And then up top across left to right would be Megan. And I would at this point in time put Alex. And again, probably Kristen Press up top would be who I would think would be right now the starting 11. And then, like I said, going in with what Ertz and where she is. But I think the going off to something that Sandra said earlier, I think it depends on where Julie Ertz, you know, you never wish any sort of injury on anybody, but that's probably the best thing that could have happened to this U.S. team to get a real clear picture of who can slot in, because we've seen Julie Ertz number one outside of Becky Sauer run, the number one on that team sheet day in and day out every time. Dating back to even Jill Ellis, she was the one that was slotted in all the time. So to be able to see Lindsey Horan and what that looks like, because I think again, against who they're going to play in this, in the opening rounds or group stages, you know, it might be better for Lindsey Horan to slot into that six and just give the U.S. a different look and, you know, a different playmaking ability than Julie Ertz would bring. And then vice versa, depending on who they're playing. So yeah, I mean, listen, anybody you play, it's going to be one of the most dominant teams, right? And it really does come down to some luck, though, in this tournament. Luck and rest and recovery and that given day. So no doubt the U.S. will be the favorite, so heading in.
I mean, yeah. Laura, you know more than anyone else that it's not just the physicality of the game, but the mental aspects of it, the recovery, the travel, and being in a foreign country. There's so much that goes into it. Sandra, yeah, what were you going to say?
No, I'm just, I echo Lori 100%. I think if the Olympics start tomorrow and there's a starting lineup that has to be selected, that's 100% who's starting from the goalkeeper all the way up to the top four, center forward for this team. I think if we do see some rotation, this team has gone through enough at just the right time ahead of these Olympics to sort of prove and just to themselves, quite frankly, that no matter who's in and who's out, they're absolutely a force to be reckoned with.
So many numbers to choose from, so much to break down, and plenty more to come with the send-off series coming up. And of course, the Olympics later in the summer. Final thoughts, Lori, anything else you want to add?
I will say one player that we haven't talked about, though, is Katarina Macario. And I'm pumped to see her at least as an alternate, because no, do I think she's been at her best? I don't think she has played enough with the team, given some of the COVID restrictions and getting in with the mix throughout this year. But even if she hasn't been at her best, there's glimpses of what she can do for this team going forward. And just to be able to get this experience and travel with the team at this world stage, I think is huge for this young player. And I'm pumped to see what she can do going forward, whether she gets time or not. Right. So whether she's called up from the alternate spot. So other than that, huge congrats to everyone. It's such an emotional roller coaster as a player waiting for these roster unveilings. So I feel a relief for all of them. And also I will say, sorry, I'm talking so much, but I hope somebody like a Midge Purse or a few players that have been left off. We don't talk enough about it, but how much of an emotional toll that is. And then to have to go and perform with your club team. And we've seen both sides of that. We've seen Crystal Dunn, who's freaking roast occasion, became the 2015 Indivisa Player of the Year. And then listen, one of the best world players in the world now. And I hope someone like Midge Purse, who's not on the alternate list either, can do the same or whatever's best for her, right? Because I think that is very important. I really don't think people understand, unless you're in the mix, how much of a mental toll it is, and to work your entire life for this and to either get the call or not, and the amount of work that people put in. So I hope the people that have left off can find a path to success outside the U.S. too, going forward in the season.
That's so inspirational. Sandra, final thoughts for you as we round out this conversation?
Yeah, hard to follow that up. You know, Lindsay's hitting on all the correct points, and she's speaking to this as a former player, you know, having been in some of these toughest competitions. It's not easy. And, you know, covering NWSL as closely as we do, Lisa, you know, we see a trend. You know, these moments where players have to deal with some of maybe the lowest of the lows and the highest of the highs, you know, we see when players are left off some of these big rosters and some of the runs that they go on in the league. So I'm hyped to see Mitch Purse, you know, playing more games for Gotham FC and NWSL. You know, I'm really, really excited for her and what's going to happen. And it's tough. It's tough. You know, Lori's, you know, speaking to the player aspect of things. And, you know, I think maybe I'll just touch on, you know, some of the representation, you know, side of things. It's a tough, tough roster to crack. And, you know, I remember one of the hardest feelings I had to maybe cope with is, as even as someone who's generally just a fan of this team, because we're all fans of this team. We talk about them, we analyze them, but we love watching this team and seeing their success on the pitch. And it was tough to see somebody like Casey Kruger at the time get left off of that 2019 World Cup roster, because she's one of the few Black players on this team. And it's equally as tough now to see somebody like Mitch Purse not make this roster, because she's one of the few Black players on this team. Mm-hmm. And you want to see success, you know, for players like that on this team at the highest level. You want to see success for them, you know, within the league. And, you know, my hope is that that's going to happen. And I believe that these players are all talented. And somebody like Mitch Purse is going to be just fine. We saw somebody like Crystal Dunn do what she did after she got, you know, left off that roster in 2015. We saw somebody like Casey Kruger do what she did in 2019 after she missed out on that World Cup roster. And I absolutely cannot wait to see what Mitch does here in 2021 in the NWSL.
Could not have said it better myself. To each of you ladies, thank you so much for joining us on Que Golazo today. Lori, thank you very much.
Oh my goodness. I hope I get invited back. This was amazing. Love chatting with you too. I can do this all day. So thank you.
It's been great. Sandra, thank you.
Right on. This was dope. Let's go. It's time to go to the Olympics. Let's cover it.
Hey everybody. I want to thank Lisa Roman, Sandra Herrera, and Lori Lindsay for joining Que Golazo today. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Que Golazo Pod. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. We're on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Que Golazo. And of course, CBS Sports and your CBS Sports app. Enjoy the rest of your day. And we got plenty more to come from Que Golazo.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.